In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The subject that Abuna Dawood asked me to deal with today is the heart of the evangelist servant. Well, my dear ones, I have to tell you, evangelism isn't an easy service. Not any or every servant is suitable for this kind of service. It needs a special servant with special characteristics. The best expression that I found that can describe the heart of an evangelist servant is that of David in Psalm 104. He goes, "Who makes his angel spirits, his ministers a flame of fire?" The evangelist servant, my dear, should always be dynamic, not classic. He should be indeed a flame of fire. That is why David prays in Psalm 30, saying, "My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burnt, then I spoke with my tongue." His heart was hot with the flame of our Lord's love, that he says, "I just couldn't do anything but speak." Jeremiah 20, verse 9, says something very similar. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him." Jeremiah decided not to speak about the Lord, nor speak any more in his name. That was his decision. But then it doesn't stop there. He goes, "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." It looks like he couldn't speak at the beginning, but his heart, that was full of the fire of love of our Lord, just made him not able to hold it. He couldn't hold the word of God. That is exactly what happened with John and Peter, the apostles. At the beginning, they were very classic servants. Though they were our Lord's apostles, yet they were worried, they were afraid of the Jews and the Romans. They didn't have that fire in their hearts, the fire of the love of God that pushes the servant to evangelize and preach his name. But when they saw that crippled man who was sitting at the door, and when that crippled man started begging them to give them anything, they told him, "Look, we don't have anything to give you, but that which we have, we will give you. We are carrying inside us the good Lord." And they told him, "In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." So they got arrested, imprisoned, beaten up, and the people who arrested them warned them, telling them never to mention the name of Jesus again. But their reply was very clear. "We cannot not speak of what we heard and saw. We cannot do that." Why? Because the fire burning inside their hearts could not keep them from doing that. That is exactly what St. Paul said in the second epistle to Corinthians. "For the love of Christ entraps me." You know what the meaning of entraps or surrounds? It means surrounding me from every side. This is verse 5. Chapter 5, 14. It's just like when someone takes another in his arms and holds him real tight. That is the feeling that St. Paul had about the love of Christ to him. But why did he have to die for the sake of all? Well, he goes, because we judge that if one died for all, then all died. Now, you are not living for your own sake. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You are now living for the sake of Christ, who loved you and who died in order for you to live. I remember this idea that was given to me by the late Abuna Antonius Amin of Mary Moros, our church. Once I had this accident. It was a very bad accident, and God saved me from it. I should have died, actually. But after that accident, Abuna Antonius told me, Abuna, today you are dead, and from now on your life does not belong to you. And this is why you have to dedicate your life to God. You have to do God's will. And you cannot live any longer according to your own will. St. Augustine has a lovely saying. He says, I will go out and search for those who went astray. I will look for the lost. I will work as hard as I could for that purpose at all times, no matter the time is appropriate or inappropriate. I will pursue them in the worst locations, even if I step into thorns. If I don't do this, I am not a shepherd. Why is he doing that? Why is he saying that? It's because his heart is inflamed with the love of God and with the love of the people. He wants those souls to be saved. He believes it's his mission to look for all who don't know Christ and to deliver Christ's message to them. This is the heart of the evangelist servant. He's a servant whose heart is on fire. Such a servant is likened to a piece of burning coal, which if put near any other coal that is not yet on fire, will soon put it to fire. It's contagious. Today I want to speak to you about four main points concerning what kind of heart the evangelist servant should have. First, the heart of the evangelist has to be a loving heart. Let us take as an example our Lord Jesus Christ himself. In John 3, it goes, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The evangelist, my dear ones, is doing the selfsame thing. His purpose is not to condemn souls, but to save souls. His heart, which is full of love, is all the time looking for the souls that are far away. It is the loving heart that our Lord represented when he used to stick around with sinners. Our Lord Jesus walked for 6 hours in order to meet with a Samaritan woman. And when he met her, and when she confessed her sins to him, he forgives. And at that moment, the Samaritan woman's heart gets inflamed with his love. And she finds herself running around, evangelizing, preaching. Come, look, a man has told me all I did. The love of our Lord that was transmitted to the Samaritan woman made her heart get inflamed too, and she went around telling everyone about him. Come, look and taste how good is our Lord. Come, meet Christ. Come, meet the Savior. Then later on, when they went and saw for themselves, they told her, indeed, we don't believe because of you only. We believe because we saw and tasted with our own eyes. Another example is that of Zakka, whose heart had just a little tiny flame, which made him wish to have a look at our Lord Jesus. A very dim flame, let me say. But our Lord, with his great love, kindled that little flame up and made of it a burning fire. Now, the moment our Lord told Zakka to get down, to get off the tree, and that he will be going to his house, Zakka couldn't take it. He at once started confessing and decided to give back four times what he took unrightly from others. The heart that is inflamed with the love of Christ lives in repentance. The evangelist who loves God can transmit this love to the hearts of all the people around him. You know, it's just like when a mother prepares a lovely dish and the children don't want to taste it even. And she starts trying to convince them, please, just try, give it a try. The thing is, she enjoyed it so much that she cannot keep it for herself. She wants everybody to taste it. She wants all around her to taste it. So the first thing you have to have as an evangelist servant is a heart that is capable of loving everyone. Love that does not differentiate or discriminate among people on the basis of color, race, gender, no matter. The second point that the evangelist has to have, the evangelist heart that is a big, wide heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't a traditional servant. He never taught like the Jews strictly did in the synagogues and the altars only. We could see our Lord teaching everywhere, on the shore, in a ship, on the mountain, in the houses. Our Lord Jesus is not a traditional servant. The evangelist should have a big heart and a broad mind. If the church insisted that wherever it existed in Asia, Africa, or even in Europe or the West, Arabic and Coptic language has to be used in prayers, what would have happened? No interactivity, no feeling of the prayers. Of course, I'm telling you this while I personally am teaching Coptic language, but I'm speaking now about the context of evangelism. The evangelist has to have a broad mind and a wide heart that accepts others who are totally different. St. Paul addressed the Corinthians saying, "We have spoken openly to you, our heart is wide open. We are ready to listen, we are ready to know, we are ready to see, we are ready to understand." He goes, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, that I might win those who are without law." And so on. "I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." That is the essence of evangelism. St. Paul wants to say that he is willing to do anything in order to reach out to every kind of thought in order to win them to Christ. I remember that when we went once to Sudan, we heard them singing hymns that sounded quite strange to us. But for them, it was feeling our Lord's presence while singing. The rhythm may be different, but it is a matter of culture. St. Paul accepted that. If you want to be an evangelist, you need this broad mind and this wide heart. when St. Paul saw the people worshipping an unknown God, what did he do? He went and told them, guess what? I'm coming to you with news about this unknown God. Come, let me tell you all about him. And he started telling them about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he could have gone in and reprimanded them, telling them, you are worshipping idols. But that would not have given him a chance or a door to open up in order to speak to them about our Lord. But his inflamed heart, that is full of love and open wide, was able to accept and make use of this situation. The third point I want to talk to you about is a heart that endures. The evangelist has to have a persevering heart that endures all kinds of hardships. Now, please bear up with me when I tell you this. Don't be angry. I know some servants, not everybody, some servants join this evangelism service putting in mind that it is fun. It's nice to travel, to go on airplanes, to see different places, to go to different countries. So it's fun. But I have to tell you that this is not it. I have to be very honest with you. This kind of service could be one of the hardest, if not the hardest. I remember the first time we went to Sudan, one of the servants was acting funny with one of the officers, but it turned out that this officer got aggravated and he insisted on arresting him. Yes. And the servant that was with us got arrested. Well, it could have been much worse, of course, but thank God it passed and the servant was released. But here it is, the very first thing that he met was getting imprisoned. Also, one other time, two girls who were with us had a problem with their visa and they got held at the airport and could have been very serious, but thank God also it passed. What I'm trying to tell you is not to freak you out, but I'm telling you that I don't want you to be under the wrong impression that, wow, it's fun, we will travel. No, this is not the case. Let us read from St. Paul what he said about his missionary work. In the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6, but in all things we condemn ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting. That is the service of evangelism. You have to be ready to face a lot of hardships. You are going there to serve. Our Lord Jesus himself had no place to put his head. And when the mother of Jacob asked him to keep a place for her two sons, one on his right side hand side and the other on his left hand side, she thought that this meant that he will be a king and they will have prestigious positions. But our Lord answered her, saying, will they be able to drink from the same cup that I will? Will they be able to endure? The evangelist should be ready to endure the hardships. And he will meet a lot of hardships. His burning heart with the love of our Lord makes him always ready to go and serve, no matter what hardships he may meet. He knows very well that he will meet problems and he will be faced with many challenges. But his main concern is to reach out with the message of Christ to all the people. That is why St. Paul endured lots of hardships. And he tells us, 3 times I was shipwrecked, I was flogged. Okay, someone may say, what is all that? Someone may say, why do you have to go into all that trouble? Isn't it enough what you did? Why don't you just stay home? But St. Paul wouldn't go by that. He would say, "The love of Christ entraps me." The evangelist's fiery heart makes him ready to endure anything. What shall we eat? It doesn't matter. What shall we drink? It doesn't matter. I remember when we went to Ghana, we found out that the price of 1 kilo of tomatoes was £100. Oh my God. We just looked there and left the tomatoes. The one cucumber cost £9. No cucumbers for us. Now, is it possible that while I am going all that way in order to serve our Lord, that I grumble over food or over the place where I sleep? How come? I have to bear in mind that I am coming here to serve. At the same time, you always have to be ready for any unexpected or unpleasant surprises. I remember once we had a group of servants who prepared lots of lessons and they were just working day and night on those lessons. But when you go to the actual places where you're evangelizing, there are different circumstances, and those circumstances compel you to change plans. So when we went there, they couldn't say one lesson. Okay. The servants were disappointed. Why are you disappointed, my dear? Are you coming here only to give a sermon? Or are you coming here to pass on to these people the love of the Lord? You have to be ready to do anything. You may be asked to carry luggage while you thought you were going to give lectures. You may be asked to do anything. Let's take St. Stephanie, the first deacon. He was a person who performed miracles. When he went on a mission, they told him, "Okay, you are chosen for a very important task." Now, St. Stephanie must have been waiting for that. Something important to do. And he gets, "You are going to serve in the kitchen. You will cook, serve, and wash dishes." St. Stephanie could have wondered how come. But the fact of life is that a servant is a servant, no matter what job he or she does. That is what our Lord Jesus did when he found out that his apostles were preoccupied with the positions and who is best amongst them. He told them, "Don't have this kind of thought." And the second thing he did was sit down on the floor in front of them and started taking their dirty legs and he started washing them. The evangelist servant should be ready to wash the legs of all people. I remember the servants used to bathe the kids in those camps that we took them. And they were really pretty dirty. But is your heart open wide to all those strange people? All those who traveled experienced this very strong of the hearts burning inside them. The first group who went with me to Sudan, they used to call their parents and tell them, "We don't want to come back. We are full of joy. We feel we are in companionship with our Lord." Okay, the last point about the evangelist's heart, and I think this is the most important, and this is why I left it to the end, is that an evangelist's heart has to be a praying heart. We are not doing humanitarian work. We're not going there to give them food or tell them about health. We are going there to give them our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles always continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. When they wanted to know what our Lord's will, they prayed for guidance. Without prayer, you are just a social servant. But if you are a praying heart, you will be able to see our Lord Jesus Christ in your service. There's a lovely story that some of you may know. There was this physician who went on a mission to Africa, but he was told, you can treat people. You are not allowed to say one word about Jesus Christ. He agreed, and he stayed there serving for 5 whole years without saying one single word about Christ. But he always used to pray. And then he left, and another mission came to the same country. Now that country started getting a little bit open to missionaries. And the mission that went started telling them about Christ. Told them, we're coming to tell you about Christ. They asked them, who is Christ? Those missionaries started telling them about who Christ is, his characteristics, how our Lord Christ was. And then they were astonished, because the people of this country told them, but this man you're talking about was here. He was a physician and he lived amongst us here for 5 years. You see what the whole story is about? What you are doing is delivering our Lord Jesus to them, rather than preaching them. And in order to do so, you need to pray. To pray continuously, to pray incessantly, to pray hard. You need to keep praying for the people you are going to serve. To pray that our Lord opens their hearts and minds. That our Lord helps you know what to do and who to talk to and how to talk or not to talk. The best thing that will make you see our Lord Christ is three main states that I want you to bear in mind. Quietude, serenity, and purity. When you are in a state of quietude, you will be able to reach a state of serenity. And it is then that you will experience that purity which will allow you to see our Lord Jesus. You know, it's just like when you are in the water, in a place like Sharm el Sheikh, for example. If you move your legs in the water, sand will come up. And when the sand comes up, the water is not clear. But when you stand still, when you are quiet, the sand will go down and the water will get pure and you will be able to see through it. All those who experienced seeing the Lord were always in a state of prayer. The 4 points that are important to the heart of an evangelist, my dear ones, are a heart of fire, a big wide heart, a persevering heart that endures, and a praying heart. Glory be to our Lord. Amen.